story from John chapter 2 just not fit in with the gospel stories. I mean, all the different things. I mean, I just see Jesus, you know, this compassionate healer, this kind teacher, this wise, you know, friend. And then he just immediately goes through this incredible Hulk transformation and engages in a very physical response to his anger on the situation that he saw. Mashing those two videos together in that story, they seem to capture what I think a lot of us think when we read that story, that Jesus just lost it, that he just lost control, that he just flipped out for a few moments, and he was angry. But he did neither of those things. He was in full control. He gave us a great example of how to handle our anger. This month we're talking about making a difference in our personal life. We had a little break last week, having the honor of Dr. Jay Henry come and share with us from mid-India. What is it now? Bethlehem Living Water. And he talked about fear. And as he was talking about fear, I was thinking about things that I might be afraid of, or, you know, just my mind starts to wander sometimes. And I was thinking that, you know, if I'm afraid of words that are pronounced the same but have different meanings but are spelled differently, does that make me homophonophobic? Is that... It's just things like that go through my brain. Just thinking about fears. Well, it was really an honor to have Jay Henry come and visit with us last week. And I invited him back to attend just any time that he, so he wouldn't have any responsibilities. He wouldn't have to teach or preach. He could just come and sit in a service and worship with us and listen to a sermon instead of having to bring one. And he was very appreciative of that. He said not many people give him that kind of invitation. And so we might see Jay Henry back here again sometime while he's still in the States when he's not at another church. So the other Sundays of this month have been dedicated towards making a difference in our personal life. We talked in the first Sunday about how our main goal as a Christian is just to live like Jesus, to live the way he lived. We touched a little bit on how that praying like Jesus prayed would make a difference in our personal life. We talked last week about how spending our time the way Jesus spent his time, that would make a difference in our personal life. And then today is another important topic, and it's how to handle our anger. That if we learn to handle our anger like Jesus, that would make a big difference in our personal life. I've met very few people who haven't had some sort of struggle with how to handle their anger. So I believe that most of us here, if not every one of us, could do better in this category of handling our anger in a better way. I mean, just imagine if you handled your anger the way Jesus did. Imagine how that would change your life. Imagine how that would change your relationship with your spouse. Imagine how that would change your relationship with your children or your relationship with your parents. Imagine how things would be different at work if you would handle your anger like Jesus. We don't even have to get to work. Imagine what the drive to work would be like if you learned to handle your anger like Jesus. Imagine how much stress would just come off the top. How much stress you wouldn't have in your life if we would just learn to handle our anger in a holy and righteous way like Jesus. So let's look at this example that we had read to us in that old Jesus film in John chapter 2. So we're going to look at Jesus's example, John chapter 2. And there are a few pointers here that we can take and we can follow his example on how to handle anger like Jesus did. First of all, we need to process our emotions. So process your emotions. Let's write that down. And that means to understand what is at the root of our anger. What's at the root of our anger? Process our emotions. Just pause for a minute and reflect before you react. Oftentimes, if we would just reflect first, we wouldn't react, we would respond. And those are two completely different expressions of anger with two completely different outcomes, reflecting and then either or reflecting and responding or just reacting without reflection. So process your emotions. Understand the root of your anger, because anger is always a secondary emotion. Anger is never the first emotion. It's always secondary or tertiary or, you know, it's somewhere down the line, but it's never the first emotion. There's always an emotion that comes before anger, and that emotion you need to identify. That's the primary emotion, and you need to understand what emotion led to the anger. I mean, you guys are taking notes like crazy animals out there, so let me know if I'm going too fast. Just kind of give me a little. So, understand what emotion led to the anger. What caused me to get angry in the first place? What emotion came first? What was the primary emotion, because anger was a secondary emotion? Am I hurt? Is that why I'm angry? You know, was my pride or my ego dented? I was offended, and that's why I was angry. Was I disappointed or betrayed? Did I feel wronged in some way or taken advantage of? Are any of those reasons why I was angry? There's always something that comes first, an emotional response that comes first. So what led to my anger? Identifying that primary emotion will help us to answer another important question. And that is this a righteous anger or an unrighteous anger? I believe anger is a reflection that we are made in God's image. You're like, what? I don't get that. You're told in God's word that we're made in his image, in his likeness, correct? We are told over 300 times that God got angry in the Old Testament. God got angry. A dangerous anger. That anger is described as a fierce anger over 70 of those 300 plus times. It is very clear that God had this emotion and felt this emotion, this powerful emotion of anger. And not just once, it was part of his character. And so Jesus was not freaking out. He wasn't hulking out as some of us sometimes, when I first read that story, I was like, man, this doesn't fit Jesus. He wasn't hulking out. He was completely in the image of God when he was showing his anger in that way. God got angry. Jesus got angry. It was consistent with his mission of coming here to reveal God to us. I believe that this emotion, this strong emotion of anger, it has holy roots. And we experience anger. We experience a righteous anger because we're made in the image of a perfect God who got angry. And so we experience a righteous anger because of that. Now that's one side of the coin. There's a righteous anger, but then there's also an unrighteous anger. And unrighteous anger is a perversion of this righteous anger. It's a perversion of this anger that's rooted in holy and righteous behavior. And it's a twisted version. Just like any sin, all sins are just a twisted version of what God intended. And so unrighteous anger is not based in a holy anger or righteous anger. It's twisted, it's perverted. I almost called this sermon Angry Like Jesus. And I thought, you know, if we put that on the sign, I don't know if that would communicate the right thing. And I didn't know if I'd be able to, you know, we needed to get to that point before we started being able to, title the sermon that way. So I kind of massaged it a little bit into handling our anger like Jesus. But really, I think we need to be angry like Jesus. He is our Savior, he's our Lord, he's our King, and we follow him. We are disciples of him. And so we need to know whether or not it's righteous or unrighteous to decide which one we're doing. Because if we're following Jesus, it's going to be righteous anger. Our unrighteous anger, that's not in the spirit of following Jesus. So how do we know if it's righteous or unrighteous? Now, there's a very simple question to help sort this out. And that is to ask ourselves, am I angry at sin? Or am I angry because of sin? Am I angry at something that would make God angry? Am I angry at something that would make him angry? Am I angry at sin? Jealousy is a good one to start to kind of look at, because we know that God got angry because he got jealous. It's shared in the Old Testament. God is a jealous God. So if you're jealous because your spouse is spending time at work, extra time at work, jeopardizing your relationship, and not just spending extra time at work, but spending extra time with someone of the opposite sex at work. Lots of time, skipping family meals to work late with this person, sending inappropriate texts back and forth, and you know, you get the picture. That would be a righteous anger based on a righteous jealousy. Jealousy is the emotion that comes first. Anger is the secondary emotion. So you go to the primary emotion, identify that, say, is this a righteous or unrighteous jealousy, whatever the emotion is, you know, in this one, this example, jealousy. And we can identify it as a righteous jealousy because it matched what caused God to be jealous because the Israelites were being unfaithful to him. They were choosing to put other things in his place. And so that was a root of God's jealousy and anger in one place. And so if that's where you are, then you can say, okay, this is a righteous anger. It's based on a righteous primary emotion. I'm angry at sin. Or am I angry because of sin in me, in my life? Is the root of my anger a sinful reason? So let's go back to that same scenario, but a little bit different. The anger produced by jealousy. And what if your spouse is living a completely normal life at work and at home, but you've developed some sort of paranoia that something's going on, but there's no reason to believe that it's going on. You have let jealousy grow in you, and it has no righteous basis for growing. Your spouse has done nothing unfaithful, nothing to show that they are unfaithful. They've had to work late a couple of times, but it's been legitimate. Maybe they've missed a couple family meals because of that, but it's been real meetings and real things going on with a group of people. And that's not their practice. They're doing nothing that would jeopardize the relationship, but you're angry. And you go to your primary emotion and say, well, why am I angry about this? It's because I'm jealous. Do I have any reason to be jealous? And you kind of sift through that a little bit and you realize, you know what? This isn't righteous jealousy. It must be unrighteous jealousy. It's not rooted in anything. It's caused by something in me. It's caused by some sort of insecurity or some sin I have of being over this or over that or a little paranoid or whatever. And you sort through that. And so there are a lot of other situations. I picked a situation that's a little sensitive. But there are a lot of other situations. When you start asking yourself those questions, there's definite black and white to it. And you can define quickly, yes, this is a righteous anger. No, this really isn't a righteous anger. So if your anger is based out of an unrighteous reason, you're angry because someone parked in your parking place at work, or you're angry because you feel entitled to something and because of some inflated view of self, you know, your ego has been struck or whatever, or someone, you know, pulls in front of you and, you know, it wasn't super unsafe. You didn't want them in front of you and you're just angry. Whatever, if you look at the primary emotion and the cause of the angry emotion is something that is a self-centered or a sinful-based emotion, something that's caused because of some imperfection in you that you need to deal with, then you need to let it go. When you realize, okay, this is unrighteous, you need to let it go. You need to ask God for forgiveness, ask his help in letting it go. There's no reason to proceed any further. Once you define, okay, this initial, you know, this jealousy or this envy or this hurt was based out of pride, not based out of some, you know, God hurt, you know, God level hurt. And you say, okay, it's unrighteous anger. I need to get rid of it. God, forgive me for whatever it is that caused the anger. And then let go of it. There's no reason to pursue it any further. But if you have righteous anger based out of a righteous emotion, it has holy roots, it's a righteous and holy anger, then that anger, you're angry at sin. You're angry at the very thing that God would be angry at himself. And if that's the case, then you need to do something about it. This is one of those ones I almost need the music stand right here, you know, but I've been told when I stand down here, a few people can see and it is distracting, but this is a subject, one of those subjects where I've told you guys that they're not easy for me to preach because I don't have a handle on this. I learned early in my time here, I can't preach just on the things I have together because that gyps us all from God's word. I'm here, I'm bringing what God's word says, whether or not I got it together or not. I try, you know, practice what you preach. That's a great theory. It's a great thing to work on, and I work on it that way. But sermons like this, I don't have this subject together very well. I did for a while, and I'm very careful to share this around my kids. But, you know, for 10 years, we didn't have kids, and we had made a vow to each other. We weren't going to yell in our household, and that went great. And before we got married, Jess said, I'd heard about your anger, and it scares me, and I don't want to see it. And so we said, okay, we'll just won't yell in our house because that's my trigger. When I start raising my voice, then it just, everything goes white and it's not good. So for 10 years that worked. It was great. then we had kids. I don't want to give them a guilt trip, but man, that just changes your world in so many different ways. And so and then as they grew, it wasn't long. And I raised my voice and I wasn't prepared for it. And it hit that trigger and I just, man, and then afterwards I had two kids crying in the back seat and I was like, what did I just do? I just unloaded, you know, took my day out, you know, it wasn't right. And so now, you know, when I preached a whole series on this in 2008, and I felt very confident preaching that series. It was a good series, and I had it together at that time. But now, 2016, things have changed in my life, and now it's a subject where I come back to, and I'm like, I'm not doing great about this. And we have time, you know, when Jesse comes home, me and the boys will be able to share stories. Hey, we had a moment where we almost went over the edge, you know, and Isaiah pulled back and I pulled back and nothing ever got out of control or out of hand or whatever, you know. And so those are good moments, but it's a struggle. It's something we're fighting with in a good way, fighting for. And so I've got plenty of things, but I've been using this hand for unrighteous. I've got plenty of things right now that I've been dealing with that I know is unrighteous anger. And I'm in the midst of working through this. And as I was writing this sermon and reviewing the sermons from 6 years ago, 8 years ago, it was 8 years ago. Then I'm looking now and I'm like, man, I really got some things I need to work on myself. But I do have some righteous things that I'm really angry about, to make sure I scan carefully. Because if this person was here, I was going to ask their permission just so that they would be cool. I'm sure they would be all right with it. But when I went to visit Lou on Wednesday, she was sharing with me about her neighbors. She's got some neighbors downstairs that have been taking care of her cats and taking care of her apartment. They cleaned her apartment, you know, and they're taking care of it. They're going to clean it again before she comes home. And just wonderful neighbors. And she said, I've been trying to get them to come to church. But they don't want to come to church because they have a bad view of Christians. The lady was a waitress for years. And Sunday was the worst day to work. I've been a waiter. I've served. I know, Abby and Curtis over here. Sunday, if you have a shift on Sunday and you try to trade out, no one's going to take it, are they? No. Why? Because of the Christians. Because of the church crowd. I won't say because of Christians. Because of the church crowd. Because they're rude. They don't tip. They're not kind, nice. They're not generous. And so Lou said, you know, she shared this story with me. She said, and Lou was going to order a Reds ticket. She had all the information at her house. And so she said, you know what? I've been trying to find a way that you can connect with them. And maybe that would be another connection. And so maybe you can go and you can get her to let you in my apartment and get the packet and order the Reds tickets for me, since she was not able to. So I said, okay, I'll definitely do that. Anything for Lou. Lou is awesome. So I went over there and I met the lady, super awesome lady. And she's like, you know, I believe in God. I've been praying about Lou. I've been praying for her the whole time she's been in there. And then she shared me the same story that Lou shared with me about it. And I was like, I'm with you. I despise people who call themselves Christians and act that way. I get angry. I get angry when I see it, but I get really angry when I hear stories like this. Because she is right there. She has been walking. She is in apartments right across the street from us. And she's missing out on what we get here because some people didn't act like Christians. And I told her, I said, I get it. I was a waiter myself, and it was awful. And there are a lot of Christians or a lot of churchgoers that act like that. But the people at our church, they're not like that. They're a different breed. So come on down. And let me tell you what. I'm going to hit a different level of anger with you guys if I brag on you and then I hear that you're not doing what I'm bragging on you about, okay? So the pressure's on. But really, that's a holy and righteous anger. So what am I going to do with that? I'm going to bring that to you. I'm going to share it with you and say, hey, this is something that's a real issue. I've got a friend of mine, acquaintance friend, had lunch a few times, and every once in a while when we get a chance to talk, we'll find some times every once in a while where our paths cross. And he was a Christian and was baptized into Christ. And because of the way people acted in church, he rejected not just church, he rejected God. And today he's a professed atheist. And I pray for him, and I hope someday a door will open But that just makes me so angry that that happened because of people that call themselves Christians. And I share that, not just those stories, but I share with you guys. How many times have you heard me say up here, live the life, act like Jesus. Don't just wear the name tag, live it. How many times have you guys heard that? That's me acting out on that anger, on that holy, righteous anger, doing something about it. Be generous. How many times have you heard me speak about that? Be generous. Leave a good tip. If you're going to go out to eat, make sure you have the money to leave a good tip. Or grab some cold cuts and go home. Don't just wear the name tag. So we got to do something about it. So John chapter 2, I want to go back and reread what we heard the guy read from the story there. Just a couple verses. Verse 15 of chapter 2, it says, so he made a whip. Everyone say, made a whip. So he made a whip out of cords. And John even tells us the material. You might think, what? We'll get to that. And drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. So we process our emotions. We figure out what came first and what's causing this, if it's righteous or unrighteous. And then once you decide that, if it's unrighteous, you repent of whatever sin that's causing that. You let it go. You leave it. You don't act on the anger because there's no reason to. If it's righteous, then you move to the next step, and that is process your solution. Okay, and here is the term we're going to learn today, make a whip. Say, make a whip. I want that to be etched on our brains. We need to make a whip. And that means you make a plan. You make a plan. Jesus took time. He didn't just grab, you know, a staff out of one of the disciples' hands and start whacking people on the head with it. John says specifically he made a whip. It takes time to make a whip. I wonder what his face looked like. You know, he made a whip. That takes time. Let's write this down. My response to my anger is a choice. We have to be responsible for all of our choices. The response to my anger is a choice. Pause. Take a moment and make a whip. What'd you learn about in church? My preacher told me to go make a whip. Make a whip. Make a whip before you respond in this powerful emotion. Take time to make a plan. Make a whip. Process your solution. John shares with us the material that Jesus used. He made a whip out of cords, which is kind of significant because whips were made out of leather. Cords would not have hurt as much as leather. Leather would have left some pretty bad abrasions. He didn't just grab a leather whip and start Indiana Jonesing. He made a whip out of cords. He was even conscious of the material he chose. It wasn't a whip of leather. It wasn't a whip like he got whipped with, which was a whip of leather that had pieces of bone and metal in it for the purpose of causing physical harm and injury. Jesus' choice of material showed that he was not hulking out. He wasn't losing it. He was in full control. He was choosing how he was going to respond. He was being responsible of his choice of how he responded to his anger. He chose a material that might leave a mark if it connected, but it wouldn't injure or hurt. So make sure you know what material you're making your whip out of. You don't want a material that's going to cause damage, to hurt or injure. You want a material that's going to get attention. So we need to pause. We need to pause like a safety on a gun. You know, those of you who are gun users, you have a safety on a gun, and that safety is there to keep you from pulling the trigger until you are ready to pull the trigger, to make sure that accidents don't happen. So our action response to anger should always have the safety on. We should always have to move the safety before we pull the trigger on our response to anger. If we try to react out of anger before we reflect, we should have a safety on the trigger where we try to pull it and nothing happens. And we say, oh, I need to pause. Leave the safety on so that we can reflect and then respond instead of simply just reacting. Your response is a choice. Let's write this down. Let your anger empower an action that is going to cause a righteous change. Let your anger empower an action that is going to cause a righteous change. It's not to empower revenge. It's not to empower vengeance or hate. I mean, Westboro Baptist Church does not handle anger like Jesus. They're not angry like Jesus. That's hate speech. That does not represent God or godly anger or righteous anger. Our anger is not even to empower some sort of justice, like an eye for an eye type of situation. Sometimes the things that will make you angry, there will be no fix for. There will be no repair. There will be no way to bring justice to the situation, some of the things that you're angry about. Our anger should be focused towards causing a righteous change moving forward, causing a righteous change forward. Jesus understood why he was angry. He understood the primary emotion. He saw his father's house and he was offended by the way his father's house was being used. And that led to anger. And so he made a whip. He took time. He made a plan. He paused and he processed not just his emotions. He also processed the plan. He paused. And then he let that powerful emotion, and anger is a very powerful emotion. Anger will cause you to do things that you never thought you were capable of doing on both sides. We've all been on this side. You can be on this side. Anger can move you to take stands for things you would never take a stand for. Anger can move you to move and motivate like you've never been able to motivate or move before if you allow that to be a holy and righteous anger inside of you. Jesus let that powerful emotion empower him to direct his anger in a way that would cause a righteous change. See, selling animals in the temple, it started off as a service to travelers who were traveling from a distance to come and make sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. If they could come and buy their sacrifices there, then it would lighten their load. It would make the trip there a whole lot easier. They could just bring currency instead of dragging along a whole bunch of animals they'd have to feed and care for and, you know, however long the journey was. And so they could just bring currency, come out there and buy their sacrifice, go in and make their sacrifice and worship God. It was a service to facilitate worship, but then it became something where these sellers were taking advantage of the travelers. And then instead of it facilitating worship, it became a marketplace. And that changes what angered Jesus. That's what the problem was. He overturned the tables and set the animals free to make a point that his house was, that God's house was not to be a marketplace. It was a place of worship. He wanted to show that God's house was important to him. He used his anger to empower an action that was to cause a positive change. So in following Jesus' example, once we define the primary emotion and decide if anger is righteous or unrighteous, if it is righteous anger, we should respond. And we should do something. We should plan out a response. We should make a whip, make a plan, and we need to execute that plan in a way that's going to cause a righteous change. And as we process the plan and execute the plan, we should keep in mind that all emotions are held accountable by our responsibility to love. Let's write that down. All emotions, this isn't just anger, all emotions are held accountable to our responsibility to love. Jesus acted on his anger in love. And we should do the same. Paul gives some guidelines to anger in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So these are some of Paul's guidelines in Ephesians 4. He says, be angry. We'll get to the but in a minute, but be angry. The NIV says, in your anger, do not sin. But the actual Greek on the first part of this doesn't say anything like the NIV. It's the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, translates it more correct to the Greek. And it says, be angry. Be angry and yet do not sin. The Greek used here is not something that says, if you get angry. It's not a concession. It's not, you know, in the instance that you fall or you're weak and you're angry. No, it says, be angry. There are times to be angry. Kind of interesting, just verses later, verse 31. So we're in 26, down in verse 31, same chapter. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Wait a minute, you just said a few minutes ago, be angry. Now you're saying get rid of it. That's short. I can be angry for, you know, 4 verses, 5 verses. And I got to get rid of it. No, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. See, there's a right way and a wrong way to be angry. This list here is in a family of bitterness and rage and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That's the wrong way to be angry. But earlier in verse 26, what we just read is Paul says, be angry, and there's a way to be angry. There's a right way to be angry. He says, but, there's some buts there. The first but is do not sin. Be angry, yet do not sin. Don't sin in your anger. There is a way to express your anger that is not out of bitter. There's a way to express your anger that's not in an uncontrolled fit of rage. There's a way to express your anger in a way that doesn't slander or doesn't cause physical harm to others. There's a way to express your anger in a way that doesn't leave unnecessary emotional scars. Make sure that that thought is present in your mind as you are making your whip, as you're designing your plan to respond to the righteous and holy anger that you have. And if it's not holy or righteous, as I said earlier, that shouldn't trigger a response. The safety should catch. You say, oh, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, it's not righteous. I need to repent. I need to ask forgiveness, and I need to let it go and move on. Paul also says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. So let's write this down. Do not delay resolution. If it is a righteous anger, then you need to resolve it. James says, and this was from the sermon 8 years ago, and when I reread those sermons, I was like, yeah, it's kind of, I wouldn't have thought about this for this one, but I thought about it 8 years ago, and I was like, man, the Spirit was speaking some really cool stuff, so I copy-pasted in this one because it was good. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit about a situation that causes holy and righteous anger, we have to act on it, right? If you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, if the Holy Spirit is stirring you to the point where you have a righteous anger about something and you bottle that up and you don't do it, is James saying that's sin? If you know the good you ought to do, you should do it. And if we're being spurred on by something that's causing a holy and righteous anger driven by the Holy Spirit, we need to act on it. We must act on it. We cannot delay resolution. I was just reading on to see if I could skip that. We're getting a little tight here time-wise. So what if you decided that the anger is unrighteous and you just can't get rid of it? You're like, you know, I've asked God for forgiveness, and I'm not able to let go of it. What if you went to that person who you were unrighteously angry with and you just leveled with them? And you say, hey, look, I've been examining myself. I'm angry with you, but it's not your fault. It's my fault. It's because of something I'm dealing with. And I need to ask your forgiveness because I'm angry with you. And maybe that's the key to gaining some resolution, some freedom from that. Either way, do not delay resolution. And then Paul says that we should not give the devil a foothold. So let's write this down. In a situation when emotions are out of control, Satan gains traction. We cannot allow him to have traction in our lives. And this isn't just anger. A lot of these things that we're taking notes on today, they connect to any emotion that we deal with. And as you guys are packing up, I see you look back at your notes. Any emotion, you know, is it a righteous or unrighteous emotion? Then should I act on it? And that would save us a lot of heartache in so many other areas, not just in anger. If it's a righteous emotion, embrace it and let it empower you to do good things, to do righteous things, holy things. If it isn't, drop it and run away from it. Get away from it. Your response to any emotion is a choice, not just anger. How you respond to any emotion you feel is a choice. Remember that. All emotions are held accountable by our responsibility to love. Our first priority to love God and to love others. And to remember that in a situation when emotions are out of control, not just anger, but any emotion, when it's out of control, Satan gains traction. Learning and practicing how to handle anger like Jesus handled anger will make a big impact on how we make a difference in our personal lives.